Hello, hello. Welcome back. I'm sure that you guys thought that we forgot about you. We did not give up on you.
We never forget.
Welcome back to the 26th episode of Flicker Flop. What do we talk about on our podcast?
We talk about movies and stuff.
Movies, yeah. Films.
Yes.
Tear them to shreds or thoroughly enjoy them.
Or, yeah, praise
One
them.
One of the two.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, so it's been a while. I think our last episode was back in August.
Yeah, we've Something, been busy.
Yeah, yeah, we have
been
busy.
We've been busy.
Yes.
Cranking out reviews.
That's right. Yeah, I've been writing more and...
Cranking out on the Peloton.
That's right, yes.
We are total...
Cycling, yoga.
We are total cult members. Listen, if you want $100 off and you want to order it, let me know. We'll give you a code anyway.
Yeah. And we'll send you a free vial of human blood. It's a cult, seriously.
Yeah, it's a welcome package.
Right. So to start off, I guess we'll talk about Nightstream, which is a virtual film festival that I participated in
it was 3 weeks ago.
It was like 3 weeks ago, October 8th to the 11th. It was like in a weekend.
It was during our little staycation in the city here in Philly.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, this was kind of like a response to, you know, so many, film festivals being canceled. Nightstream was like this genre, you know, virtual genre film festival that, was brought together by like the Boston Underground Film Festival, Brooklyn Horror Film Festival, North Bend, Overlook, all these different, other like festivals, and they kind of joined forces. And, so yeah, they put out some movies and I watched five of them and you watched one of them.
Oh, well, yeah, I was totally looking forward to that.
Yeah, which was the opening night selection, they called.
Yeah, because there were, like, a few that you could only watch for, like, what, like, 12 hours? I don't even
know. Yeah, like, once you started watching it, you only had, like, I don't know, a couple hours to finish it or so.
So just to be clear, like, before we start diving into the movies, like, some of these you can't find, like, on Hulu,
right.
Netflix,
so I
or anything like that. Yeah, unless you, like... participate in Cody on the Fire Stick.
Do it illegally and
listen, live your life. Live your
piracy,
best life.
Given to piracy.
I'm not promoting it, but hey, you do
it's
you
boo. It's there.
You do you boo.
But yeah, so not all these movies have, you know, distribution deals yet. Some of them do and some of them are about to. I guess I'll go in order of like the ones that I liked the most to least, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with... So not
talk
all
to
of
me.
These... I will. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show. I'm just going to talk. Yeah, so the first one that I'm about to talk about, this is my favorite of the film festival. Not horror, really, by any means. It's called Dinner in America. I would classify it as, like, a weirdo punk rock romance. I'm in the middle of writing my review, but, like, this pours gasoline on every traditional love story. And when I say that, that has something to do with some of the characters. One of the characters is, like, a pyromaniac. But, yeah, this is from a writer-director, Adam Carter Reimer. I'm probably butchering that name. But this is, like, a very brash, profane, funny, but well-acted black comedy. Kind of starts out like showing the cracks in suburban America. It centers around this misfit named Patty. She's into punk rock, but she's a complete dork. She's a real outcast, I'll say. And she ends up running into this punk rocker who's like on the run, and they kind of form this unconventional romance. And yeah, I don't know. It just, there's this like underlying sweetness to it, even though they aren't the most lovable characters in the world, but like you kind of end up falling for them anyway because they're not asking you to like them. I don't know. It, it really took me by surprise, and I really like, the two leads. The one is Kyle Gallner, which he's been in a lot of stuff. And then the other girl that plays Patty, she was actually in a Broadway show that I saw called Fun Home. Her name's Emily Skaggs. So, they both are really great in this. So yeah, that currently does not have a distribution deal, but definitely look out for that one.
Stay tuned for the full review.
And then in progress. Moving right along is a movie called Black Bear. So this stars Aubrey Plaza,
mm-hmm.
who you might know from
lots of different things.
Ingrid Goes West. She has this very like deadpan Daria sense of humor.
Oh, Daria throwback. Yeah.
Like if there was ever a live action movie of that, she would be Daria.
Like a Chelsea Handler.
Kind of. But she's like very, very deadpan. Like you never know if she's like serious or not. Like, if you've ever watched her in interviews on like late night shows, she's so weird and hilarious. This is from Lawrence Michael Levine. I've liked some of his films. His wife is actually, she did the Black Christmas remake.
Oh my God, which we all loved so much.
Oh, but keep making films, girl. But yeah, so.
Well, I did say that that was better than another movie that we watched recently, didn't I? Anyway, just to throw that out there. Yeah. We can't poo-poo on Black Christmas too much.
No. But, so this is coming out, so Black Bear, this is coming out December 4th. I don't know who picked it up or whatever, but, so this is about Aubrey Plaza. She's playing this director who goes on a retreat. She has writer's block. She's staying with this couple in the woods, played by Christopher Abbott and Sarah Gadon. And, yeah, I don't really want to spoil anything, like, what happens from there. The movie kind of, like, reinvents itself and, just kind of changes. You never know where it's going. I think this is definitely Aubrey Plaza's, like, probably best performance to date, and she's been good in a lot of stuff, but like this gives her a lot of colors to play, and I don't even want to say anymore. It's definitely like I would say for film buffs, cinephiles, because it's kind of about the filmmaking process. There might be a Black Bear involved, but again, this is more of a
I would hope at some point
I would consider this like a chamber piece, because it takes place in, it's like a pressure cooker, it's set, you know, in a cabin, and emotions run high. It's not really horror. I mean, anything can be horror, but,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it surprised me.
People are really
me.
Stretching that genre lately.
Definitely. There's a lot of, wiggle room.
Uh-huh. Well, people think, anyway.
Yeah, but no, that was definitely really great, too. And then, moving right along to...
Oh my God, my girl, I was so looking forward to this, since, yes. you know, American Horror Story and all of that. I mean, right. Ratchet did come out, yeah. So that solved a little bit of my, like, FOMO.
Right, so the girl that we're talking about is...
Sarah Paulson.
Miss Sarah Paulson.
So good, love her.
Yes.
Even though a lot of people don't really like her.
Yeah, and
they just don't understand her performance. They just don't get it.
Maybe because she's in so much and they're just jealous. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. She's good.
Right.
Anyway, so Run.
Run! Would you say
she
Run?
She made me hate her, though.
I mean, she
like,
always...
Like, she made me hate her in this one.
She always plays a very complex character, though, where, like...
Yeah, you're not, like,
she's
at
not
some
good,
points you
she's
do...
Not bad,
right,
she's,
right,
like,
right.
in the middle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is a thriller.
Mm-hmm.
I would consider it a Hitchcockian thriller.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It definitely knows how to, like, tighten the screws throughout. I guess we should say what it's about. Mm-hmm. So it's about this 17-year-old girl. She was born premature. She suffers from all these different disorders, diseases, maladies, whatever, like diabetes, paralysis. She's in a wheelchair. She's being homeschooled. She's on a strict schedule of medication. And, like,
they kind of live, like, in the middle of nowhere, too.
And they live in, like, a remote house. But, yeah, she, you know, is eager to receive her college admissions letter. I should mention that her mother is Sarah Paulson. She's, you know, she loves her daughter. maybe too much. And, but yeah, the girl, her name's Chloe, and played by Sierra Allen, who's new, you know, Chloe's ready to start her life, and I don't think her mom is ready to let her daughter leave the nest yet, But once Chloe finds the prescription bottle with her mother's name on it, she kind of suspects something is going on and has been going on for quite a while. And it kind of goes from there. It's a mystery. I would say once you find out what has been going on, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but you're still with it. You're still entertained. You still...
And there's more twists as it still, goes.
Right. And without spoiling anything, I feel
I mean,
like,
I don't know if I really liked that twist, but...
No, I mean, I kind of saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
But how it gets there, I think, is what makes this fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very slickly put together. Like, I like the score. I like the way it was shot. I think there's a lot of style in it. It did remind me a lot of the Hulu series, The Act, with Patricia Arquette. You know, it was like a true crime drama. The mother is like, it's the whole Munchausen syndrome by proxy, like where, you know, you make your child feel sicker than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually make them sick. So it kind of reminded me of that. I mean, that came out not that long ago. But, you know, all that aside, yeah, Sarah Paulson is fun to watch. She really taps into her inner...
Her inner crazy-ass psycho mom. Yeah.
You know, it's not, like, the most, like, complex thriller in the world, but, like, I don't think it has to be. It's definitely a lot of fun. It's a real nail-biter. Yeah,
I'm glad that they didn't try to, like, make you really work for it. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm so over some of the movies where it's like, oh, my God, you're really trying to make me work for it here. It's like, sometimes we just all need a little break.
Yeah. But it's a really tight little thriller. Like, there's not a lot of fat on the bones. Like, it's very sharp. And, yeah, this was the follow-up feature from a director that I really liked. His name's Anish Kaganti, whatever. I'm really butchering these names. But he did a movie a couple years ago called Searching, which was, like, a missing person thriller with John Cho from Harold and Kumar. And
oh my
his
God.
Daughter goes missing, and it took place entirely from a laptop screen, and that sounds ridiculous, but, like, mm-mm. It was really ingenious the way he constructed it. And so, you know, this was, like, a little more conventional, but definitely worth checking out, and it's coming out...
The 20th?
The 20th of... Oh my God, it's November. On Hulu.
Just in time for you all to sit around with your family after Thanksgiving.
Right.
And watch a film.
Exactly. Well, when I think, isn't Thanksgiving after?
What, after the release?
Or something?
Yeah, right.
Oh, you're saying, okay.
Like, you know.
Sorry, I'm used to watching a movie like...
before it comes out. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, definitely. Check this out, you know, after you're all in your food coma.
Yeah, like if everybody's like, oh, what should we put on?
Yeah. Exactly.
Suggest it. Do it. Watch
all right. So we'll keep taking this train.
So what, 4 out of 5? We're talking about Lucky from the Nightstream event.
Yes.
This was not one that you had to watch live, though. This was one where you could have, like...
Right.
Because Run, you kind of had to watch,
like... You had to watch it, yeah. That was, like, the premiere. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Sarah Paulson definitely has some star power.
Yeah.
So, This is a satire, female empowerment, horror, slasher, twist. Sorry. This is written by Brea Grant. She did a movie that came right before this that I watched called 12-Hour Shift, which we watched, and I enjoyed that. So in this, she wrote the script, and she stars in it. She plays a self-help author. You know, one night she spots this man with a mask trying to invade her home. She wakes up her husband, and he's very cavalier about this and says, like, he's been doing this every night. He's been trying to kill us, and, well, mainly you. And so they manage to knock him out, but he escapes once the cops arrive. Ugh. And this becomes a pattern for her.
Mm-hmm. It's like The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
You sound very snide, and you did start to watch this, but I think you kind of lost interest.
I faded. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely very relevant to, you know, what seems to be a trend, you know, with the whole Harvey Weinstein thing a couple years ago. It kind of taps into victimization, trauma, you know, responses to trauma based on gender. Like, it could have been very, very heavy-handed. And some people might find it very heavy-handed, too on the nose, again, like Black Christmas. not to keep hammering that. But, yeah, I thought this was mostly effective. You know, it's not a subtle metaphor, but I don't think it really has to be subtle. I really liked Brea Grant in this. She has, like, a natural charisma to her. And yeah, I mean, it's 81 minutes. I don't think it could go any longer than that.
God, no. I was getting pissed off.
It could have ran out of juice. You know, it could become redundant. But no, yes. it has some potent themes and, it, you know, has something to say. Yeah, I don't want to say anything more than that, but it's going to premiere on Shudder next year.
So Amazon Prime?
Yes, yeah, if you have a Shudder, you know, which is the horror-centric channel on Prime, on Amazon Prime Video, you can check it out.
Next year.
Sometime next year.
Lovely.
Yeah, or maybe early on in the next year, I don't know.
Oh my god, it might not even be relevant, though.
I'm sure it'll always be relevant. All right, so this... Wrapping up Nightstream. This was kind of the least. I picked all of these. Like, I had my choice. I was going by, like,
you know, how many names. Did you have to pick from?
Oh god. So I don't even know. I'm bad at guesstimating numbers.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe
more than like two handfuls?
Maybe 40, 50. I don't even know. That sounds stupid. But I chose 5. And for the most part, I think I chose pretty well. But the last one, I wasn't really into it. I know a lot of other people kind of thought it was more effective. But anyway, it's called Honeydew. The reason I chose it was Steven Spielberg's son stars in it. I mean, I've never seen him in anything, or I didn't even know he was in filmmaking, but his name is Sawyer Spielberg. This is another feature debut. It's from a writer, director, editor. His name is Devereaux Milburn. And this is a very unusual movie, Honeydew. It kind of reminded me of, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but there aren't any chainsaws. It's just kind of like that creepy backwoods family serving mystery meat sort of thing. And I don't know, I just found it really unpleasant.
Oh, Lord.
It's about a couple, they're on the road, of course, they're in, like, the backwoods, and they're camping out in a clearing for the night, and then they're startled by the landowner, who asks them to leave, so they pack up their stuff, they get in their car battery's dead, they have no phone signal, you know, it sounds very standard.
Mm-hmm.
Then they find a house in the country, occupied by this old woman, and she, you know, has them come in, use the landline, blah, 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 makes the mistake dinner. And there's just something clearly off about her from the beginning, and you just want these two people to just get the fuck out, but they're not. And I don't know, I just found them not that interesting, not very likable. I don't blame the actors at all, but I thought they did well with, you know, what they had to do. Sawyer Spielberg and then the girl's name, Malin Barr. But yeah, I don't know, like, the old woman, she has a son that's, like, sitting at the kitchen table the entire time with, like, gauze around his head. He's drinking milk out of, like, a long IV straw. He's watching, like, Popeye reruns and, like, dipping lemon wedges in sugar. And it's just really weird. And, like, I don't want to completely shit on this movie because I thought technically, like, it was very well edited, and he uses like a lot of split screens in like an interesting way, and I thought the score was very unsettling. But I don't know, it just it made me edgy in like the worst way. I just found it really unappealing. And then there's a cameo at the end by somebody that's very familiar to people that know movies and TV, and I found that distracting. Yeah, so it's a no from me.
It's a big old flop.
It's a big old flop. I guess we really haven't been saying, but you can kind of, I would give to flicks recap, to the like
Dinner in America,
right?
Flick or flop,
right? Flick.
Okay. Black Bear, flick or flop.
Flick.
Run.
Flick.
Mutual flick.
Yeah.
Check it out, peeps.
Right.
Lucky. That's a flop.
I'd give it a flick.
Okay.
And then Honeydew, I would give a flop.
Lucky's a flop.
I'm sorry. Can't like everything.
FYI, Lucky's a flop.
Right, FYI.
Anyway, you can't see
it's really it's really unpleasant, but I loved it. No. Yeah, it actually just got a distribution deal, but I don't know who picked it up, but not my bag. The old woman was really good in it, though. She was very strange. Strange. All right. So
we were, I was wondering this the other day because it was like our 1 year anniversary. Mm-hmm. Well, like, anyway, yeah. So I was wondering like, how many movies do you think that we have watched? And you literally like went back through and you said like, I don't know, some like number around like 90, I would say.
92. But yeah. You know what? That doesn't even count like older movies that we've probably watched. Like, I don't know if we watched one of the Scream movies.
And we've watched some series, too.
Yeah, exactly. A couple series. So, in the hundreds.
But, like, over the past, like, when was the last time we did a podcast? Like, 2 months? So, we've probably seen a decent amount. We went to the movies.
Yeah, we saw Tenet. We're not going to talk about it, though, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enough time for that. Uh-uh. But, yeah. Speaking of movie theaters...
What is going on?
So, I know... All the Regals are closed, except there are some select Regal theaters in California and New York that are open. I don't think any of the Regals around us are open, though.
And the Movie Tavern's closed?
One of them is around us.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know about the rest of the world. But yeah, they may be open, they may be closed. I mean, honestly, there's not really that many new releases in theaters, and... I don't know. I think...
Well, everything was, like, shut down production-wise.
Right.
So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a delay.
Yeah, and even those that, like, went back to production, like, Robert Pattinson started back on production for The Batman, and then he got COVID, and then other people got COVID. It's just, you know, vicious cycle. Yeah.
You know what movie that I would say people should watch? Holiday, just because,
yeah,
like if we're talking about the whole like corona, the COVID stuff, like I think the last screening that we went to was The Hunt,
yeah,
which was with our girl Emma
briefly,
and then she just came out with Holiday,
which you can catch on Netflix.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Okay. It's on Netflix. Yeah, we saw it a little early, but yeah, I thought I was charmed by it. It was cute. Definitely.
Very much.
Yeah. If I had to recommend a couple movies, you know, that I've seen in the interim.
Uh-huh. Over the past 2 months.
Tenet
was kind of good, though.
Visually, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Very cool. Very cool on the big screen, but I don't want to get into that.
Fine.
I still think Christopher Nolan... treats us like idiots.
Well, there's people out there that are just too smart for their own good.
Right. Anyway, I would really recommend this movie called Spontaneous. I definitely think it is one of the best films of the year. I said one of. It is based on a YA. Actually, no, it's not. It is based on a novel. I don't know if it's a young adult novel, but it involves teenagers. This was definitely a spin on, like, the YA romance formula. There are no diseases. Nobody has, you know, cancer or a dying parent or anything like that. Although there are dying teenagers and they are blowing up.
Oh my God, that one. Nuh-uh. You were not going to recommend that one.
Yes, I am. You didn't even watch it.
That's so ridiculous.
No. Okay, so it sounds ridiculous, but it is so bold. It is so original. How do I say this? It takes this absurd premise of teenagers dying in random explosions to talk about mortality. Like,
you just never know.
Someone dies, like, how are you supposed to deal with this? Does anyone know? Like, should you drink yourself to death? Should you, you know, just go on with your life? What do you do? And yeah, this has some really great performances. Catherine Langford from 13 Reasons Why. She is, again, narrating and in high school, and people are, instead of her being the one dying, people around her are dying. But yeah, I found this consistently funny, surprising, poignant, thoughtful. Like, honestly, I can't recommend it enough. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but
it's like Anna in the Apocalypse. Trust me.
Yeah. Another movie that I like.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yeah, it has this tonal balance where you think it's gonna just like fall off, you know, be thrown off, and it doesn't. It just comes together just right.
Beautifully.
Beautifully. All right. And then sorry. Excuse me. Another movie that I would recommend, but with a caveat, it is not upbeat. It's called The Swerve. This is definitely a tragedy. It's definitely a punch to the gut. It's about mental illness. It is about anguish, smothering every last ounce of hope. It's about this woman, and it all starts with there being a mouse in the house, and it just throws her life off completely out of whack. She's married. She has two teenage sons. She's a high school teacher, English teacher. She feels barely noticed in her own life, and she gives and gives and gives, and nobody gives anything back. She's suffering from insomnia. One night she's leaving her parents' house after dinner with her troubled sister. She sneaks out, and while she's on this, like, you know, forest road, she gets passed by a carload of all these, like, drunk party boys, and by morning she doesn't know if she ran them off the road or not, and it just kind of spirals out of control from there. But this is probably as disturbing as a horror film, but it's really like a character study, and you just feel for this woman the entire time. You know, she's fragile, she's withdrawn, but it's just very empathetic towards her. And but yeah, not a happy movie, but definitely has one of, like, the most stunning performances that I've seen this year, for sure. Her name's Azura Sky. She's a very interesting face. But yeah, it's called The Swerve.
Aww.
I just showed Alex her face.
So what would you not recommend?
Oh, yes. Definitely War with Grandpa.
Oh my God, no. Definitely not.
With Robert De Niro. Yeah, just unfunny, groan-inducing. Stay away from it. And it was released in theaters. I don't even think you can watch it on demand. But, like, if it's theaters, like, are closed... It's like Meet the Fockers
meets Jackass.
It was, like, Little Fockers, which, like, is terrible.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. What else would I not recommend? I don't know. There's a lot of, like, mediocre movies, like, you know, not terrible, but just not really worth your time. Like, I saw a movie called Friendsgiving. It was just kind of flat.
Typical, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One that I would not recommend... Lucky and Spontaneous.
Oh my God, you didn't even see Spontaneous, so shut up.
Yeah, I got glimpses. I got glimpses, for sure. I mean, I was in the same room, like, yeah.
Barely. But yeah. Hopefully we'll, you know, get our shit together and start getting back to podcasting. But I am writing a lot, so.
Yeah. I've been so busy. It's been nice to kind of get back together and say hello, let you all know that we're thinking about you.
Yes.
And he's still doing reviews, so if, you know.
So check him out.
Yeah, check him out.
Yeah.
As much as you love listening to us, you know, you can also read.
Right. Our beautiful voices.
Yeah. Follow us on all of the social media channels. You know where to find me, Alex Maynard Online. Type it in there. The Artful Critic.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Peloton, listen.
Do it. Get a bike.
Let's review the Peloton real quick. What do you think?
You know, I, at first, did not think that I would like it. Like, getting back into exercise. And it did seem culty, but, you know, while we waited for our bike to get here, we did a lot of yoga. And I really enjoyed the yoga. And then the bike came, and I like the fast-paced nature of it, and I like the playlist, and I like the energy of the instructors.
Yeah, it's been great.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait for the next Just King experience. Love her.
Yeah. A lot, yeah, we have our favorite instructors and our less favorite instructors. Oh, of course, they're all, I mean, they're all great, but
and we like different ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Anyway, signing off. Lots of love. XOXO.
Bye, guys.